Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Joining us right now on the Harbor One Hotline to talk Bruins, it is Nessens Andy Brickley. Brick, good morning.
Good morning, Gregory. How are you?
Fantastic. How are you?
Oh, I'm stellar. The best time of year, right?
I'm guessing that Jack hasn't slept in days.
I only see Jack on game days.
You guys stay away from each other the rest of the time? Keep it natural?
Yeah, we don't live near each other, so it's hard to see him on a day-to-day basis, especially the last year and a half now because we haven't been traveling. So we don't, you know, when we travel, we spend a lot of time together, but everything's either at the Garden or over in Watertown calling a road game.
I was kind of surprised the other night to hear you say that you didn't think home ice was a different differentiator in round one and round two of the playoffs. You feel that same way?
Yeah, well, let's be clear on this. If you were listening to my opinion about home ice, it wasn't that it didn't matter. It wasn't a top priority. Of course it matters, and you talk to any player, they'll tell you, yeah, we want the extra home game. We want last change. Home ice matters, but given where the Bruins were in the standings and how they were going to get ready for game one of round one, trying to get home ice was not going to dictate the lineup that they were going to put on the ice. That was the point I was trying to make, that it wasn't a top priority, particularly when you're only at 25% capacity. Now, if you start playing teams and you go deeper into the playoffs and things start to loosen up, I mean, if you ended up playing Tampa, say, in the semifinals, that's going to be a full house for them because Florida's open, Massachusetts isn't. So then, yes, home ice becomes more of a factor the deeper you get in the postseason, but it wasn't a priority as you prepare for the first round.
Brick, for the Bruins to make a deep playoff run, what's the number one thing that they have to do?
Goaltending.
Okay.
Number one. I mean, the playoffs, as you know, Wiggy, it's all about the will to win, and you have to have the health of your roster. But in hockey, it's goaltending. You saw what Tuukka did in 2019. You know, if they win game seven, that's a big if. You know, he's the MVP of the playoffs. He was that good. They're going to need that kind of performance again this year, especially in this season of the unknown. You know, we watched the postseason last year in the bubble. You had no idea what to expect. You have no idea what those players are dealing with when there are no spectators, zero. And you saw what the bubble looked like and the players' response to living in the bubble. And now we're in a season again of the unknown. And with these four teams in the postseason in the East Division, it's still an unknown. It's still a pick 'em when you're trying to determine or trying to handicap, you know, who's got the advantage. And I think goaltending will be the difference ultimately in who advances.
Brick, on that note, with Swayman playing so well, how short of a leash would do you think Cassidy has on Tuukka?
Yeah, Ken, I don't know if it's a short, I don't know if that's the word I would use, short leash, but I think Bruce Cassidy is certainly willing to play the guy that's going to give him the best chance to win that night. And if Tuukka's not on his A game, if he's given up soft goals, if the rebounds are bad, which generally indicates that Tuukka's, you know, not on top of his game, which isn't all that often, they have no problem and no hesitation putting Swayman in. That's how much they believe in him.
Brick, how concerned are you with, let's say, the health of Tuca? Because he's kind of been dealing with, seems like, something, you know, for most of the season. So does that concern you going into this playoffs?
No, it doesn't. When I watch Tuca, and I think, you know, when you have a conversation with the coaching staff and you say, you know, to my eyes, he looks like he's healthy and he's moving well and he's fluid. He's not battling anything. If their trained eye says something different, then I would, you know, I would defer to their opinion. But I think he's 100%. He's ready to go. He's well rested, obviously. That's one of the things you need for Tuca. He's not built for a heavy workload. And with this schedule, it's going to be every other day starting Saturday. If there's any indication that he's laboring, then you'll see a different goaltender.
Brick, are the Bruins big enough to be as physical as they need to be against this Capitals team?
Yeah, that's well said. They are big enough. They can handle the physical aspects of the game, but it is not their strength. They don't have an advantage over Washington when it comes to that. But they have guys that can play heavy. You know, that third line that was put together almost by default, I think, is a pretty good third line to have in this series when you're talking about, you know, Corrali in the middle and Ricky on the left and Coyle on the right. Coyle's healthy now. He didn't play the last three or four games, but he's ready to go in the postseason. That's a good third line matchup when you look at Washington's third line and their defense. You know, when you look at Char and you look at Dylan, you know, they don't move all that well. So, you know, you can win those physical battles along the wall and then beat them back to the front of the net because, you know, they're not as agile. Schultz is not a strong defensive player. He's won a couple of cups because he was an offensive guy with Pittsburgh. I think Jensen's just another defenseman, just another guy. So I think if Boston spends a lot of time in the offensive zone, they cycle the puck or they work along the wall, they use their defenseman to get shots on goal, that's how you beat Washington. Yes, they are big enough and they're strong enough and they're talented enough. When you talk about that top six, I mean, what we saw the last month of the season was just spectacular as far as two scoring lines.
It's amazing that Chara is here. This has come to fruition. They're going to go head-to-head with him, Brick. What did you think about their decision to let him go before the year, and now how about going into the playoff series?
Yeah, as a fan, I was disappointed. You know, I was hoping that Chara would end his career as a Boston Bruin. What he meant to that organization when he first arrived, statements that he made about, you know, changing the culture back to what it meant to be a Boston Bruin and that they were going to win. They were going to win a championship, and he delivered all on that. You hate to see guys like that have such command in the room and it makes everybody welcoming and together and unified. You hate to see guys like that leave, and especially when it's not a financial decision. You know, it was just opportunity to play. But Boston had to make a decision. It was tough for me to see him leave, but I understand. You know, it's a draft and develop league. You had two first-round left-shot defensemen that you were developing. You had a second-round left-shot defenseman you were trying to develop. You wanted to see if they could play in the NHL, and there wasn't enough room for everybody. It was a tough decision that they made. It hurt, but we're beyond that now.
Brick, when you look at the way this team finished the season since the trade deadline, and then you look at Taylor Hall as an addition, how much of that is him?
How much of what is him?
Is this team, if you looked at them before the trade and then you looked at them afterwards, how strong they finished?
Yeah, no, a big percentage. You know, I don't know Taylor Hall very well, and that's one of the things about this pandemic that's hurt what we do. You know, you don't travel with the team. You don't see the guys on the plane. You don't interact. You don't see him in the hotel. You don't see him at morning skates. So you don't really have a feel for a guy. But I will tell you that Taylor Hall, he needed to change the narrative. In other words, you know, he had a bad reputation. You know, it was all about him. He was keeping score by how much money he was making. He was an MVP, and, you know, and his reputation was that it was a selfish reputation. You know, and here he comes into Boston. He comes into that core group, that leadership group that will not put up with selfishness. And he comes in and he understands that he has an opportunity to change that narrative. Watch him play. It's not just the spectacular goals that you've seen, like you saw the other one in overtime the other night, but he's back checking. He's blocking shots. You know, his shifts are, you know, 40 seconds maximum length. You know, those are the indications that he's got the buy-in, his team first attitude. He wants to win. He wants to change his reputation. And Wiggy, you probably play with players like that. I know when Bobby Carpenter came to the Boston Bruins, he had that kind of reputation. And in the short order, being in that Bruins locker room, he became a great teammate.
Well, yeah, I think you saw it with Randy Moss when he came to New England. One of the things that has kind of been the Achilles heel for the Bruins the past couple of years is that second line scoring or that second, you know, goal production from anybody not named Pastrnak, Bergeron, or Marchand. How important is it that they're able to continue that, especially that second line with Krejci, Hall, to continue that into this postseason for, you know, obviously for making a deep run for the Bruins?
Yeah, it's crucial. You know, I mean, you hope if the Bruins do get into a deep playoff run that you'll see goal scoring up and down the lineup. You know, you might win a game 2-1 where you get both goals from a defenseman and a fourth line guy. That's going to happen, and you hope that happens. But if you're going to have a long, deep playoff run, yeah, you're going to have playoff Krejci. You're going to have goal scoring from a guy like Craig Smith. You're going to get Taylor Hall to be on top of his game to make sure that everything isn't on the shoulders of that perfection line, as they like to call it. But you take a look, anytime the Bruins have had a deep playoff run, they've had balanced scoring. I mean, Charlie Coyle was immense. You know, he was a third-line center in 2019, and that was a huge advantage for Boston. So it's your entire roster. You're going to need contributions from everybody. The Bruins' defense, with the addition of a guy like Mike Riley, it makes their offense so much better when you have those easy exits out of your own zone and guys that get involved in the offensive end from the blue line. Charlie McAvoy's going to play, you know, 30 minutes a night. You're going to need him on the board as well. So it's not just that second line. It's going to be everybody. You take goals from wherever you can get them. But you know what wins, and we started this conversation talking about it. It's goaltending. They're going to need the saves that are required to advance.
How dirty do you think Tom Wilson gets?
I think the game will dictate where the line is for him. You know, he's a predator. There's no question about it. You know, there'll be a microscope on him as far as the officials are concerned. That line will be pretty thick as far as where you can skate it. And the minute you go over it, he's going to be penalized. But he's a force. He's almost a unique player in today's NHL, and he's a difference maker. In Boston, you know, maybe part of their strategy is to get under his skin, that he does take penalties. But, you will notice him, certainly. You'll notice him on Saturday for sure.
Brick. And speaking of dirty, I guess the question would be how dirty Ovechkin is allowed to get, right?
Yeah, I'm wondering about his health, Greg. You know, he wasn't all that healthy going into the final game of the regular season. I know he was out there a lot, had a lot of shots, but, you know, when you watch him, he wasn't moving, you know, as fluidly as he normally does at, you know, 245 pounds. But, you know, different roles for different players, right? It's always been that way.
Yeah.
Brick, if you're the coach of this Bruins team and you got a guy like Ovechkin, how are you trying to limit him, slow him down, defend him? You talked about some of the health issues that he might have. Do you run guys at him to, you know, always have somebody on? What would you be doing to try to limit Ovechkin?
Yeah, I don't think there's any one thing in particular that you do with him other than make sure you front him on the power play. You know, don't allow him that one-time easy shot on goal. But as far as playing him, even strength, you take the body when the body's there. But he's a right shot that plays the left side, and you got to be really confident that you have a solid right side to defend him when he's, you know, trying to do his damage, and that's in the offensive zone. So, you know, guys like Miller and Carlo and McAvoy on that right side, I feel pretty confident that the Bruins match up pretty well with Ovechkin, even though he's a spectacular player. But no one thing in particular, but you do hit him. You know, you're not going to wear him down. He's too big. He's too strong. He's too heavy. But you do take the body. And I said, you know, he doesn't look like he's 100%. So, yes, lean on him every opportunity you get.
How hard is it doing the game when you're not there?
I think it's more difficult for the play-by-play guy, Greg. You know, you don't have the peripheral vision. You can't see the line changes that are going on. You don't know who's stepping on the ice. You're relying on a producer that's in that home city, a guy that you have no relationship with at all. You don't know how they're going to produce the game. You know, guys coming into the frame, the camera frame, and it could surprise you who it is. So to call it real time for the play-by-play guy is difficult. As the analyst, you have a little time to absorb, and our job is basically to tell you why things happen and what to look for, so you get the extra second or two. But calling it play-by-play is really difficult. I think Jack's done a – I think the whole league has done a great job of being able to call games from a studio every road game.
All right. Well, give us a prediction, Rick.
Prediction? I'll take Boston in seven. What do you
seven.
Got?
Seven.
Wow.
That's
two sevens.
Raycroft was on saying Bruins in six. Ken, you said Bruins in seven?
Yep, I agree.
I don't think it –
Curtis said Bruins in five.
Curtis said Bruins in two, which was weird. He doesn't. He's not a big hockey fan. But I'm going to say Bruins in six. I don't think it goes seven. I really don't.
Ballsy pick.
I hope it doesn't.
I think it goes seven. This is going to be one of. This is going to be a tough battle.
Hey, well, Greg, that would go hand in glove with that home ice comment, right? If they win seven, it'll be in Washington.
Right, which I don't think you want to get to that point. And it does, you know, honestly, I sound like a broken record. I'm aware of it, but I really do hope that we have a full crowd sooner than later as the Bruins can continue their run here, because it's going to be a factor, and it's going to be an unfair advantage for other teams.
Well, if the Bruins do have a deep playoff run, I think you will see a full house at the Garden if they go that deep.
Yeah. All right, Brick, we will be watching tomorrow night. Can't wait.
Okay, fellas.
All right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.